Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Welcome back. This is episode number 256. Today, we're being joined again by Jethro Marks of thenile.com.au. Jethro joined us back in episode 251. So if you want his backstory, more information on the Nile, and more information on his personal journey in outsourcing, then of course, go back and listen to this episode. But in this episode, number 256, we get more broader view of outsourcing from his perspective. So Jethro has been outsourcing for the last 6 years to the Philippines, and he's an Australian / New Zealand businessman. So anyone out there wanting testimonials or insight, then this is an excellent, excellent podcast for you. So I hope you enjoy. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/256. Hi and welcome back. Today we have Jethro Marks of thenile.com.au joining us again. Hi Jethro, how are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure, pleasure. And you previously joined us in a previous episode, so I encourage everyone to go back and listen to that. More about your evolution into outsourcing and thenile.com.au. So, you know, you have a wealth of experience in not only business, you've had over 15 years running this, you know, starting this business, and like over 5 years now in your outsourcing team, which is a major part of your business. So I want to really pick your brain in terms of the outsourcing insights and learnings that you've made along the way. So yeah, again, thanks for joining us. And I suppose just quickly, do you want to give an outline for those that haven't listened what the Nile is and how you came to outsource?
Yeah, thanks. So we're an online retailer. We started out in 2003, and our business is predominantly in Australia and New Zealand. We started out being a bookseller, a little bit like the Amazon, and we have subsequently branched out. We now do DVDs and baby products and toys and about six or seven other categories that we play in, including home and kitchenware and the like. We started outsourcing to the Philippines about 5 or 6 years ago, and we have evolved there quite substantially, and to the point where we have the majority of our staff there. We have really incorporated. We've done the whole journey from outsourcing right through to in-house, and really, really happy with the results there to date.
And so, you know, it's our job, my job of Outsource Accelerator, to encourage everyone to explore outsourcing, because I really think that it's an incredible transformative tool, maybe the most powerful tool out there for businesses of all shapes and sizes. Now, you know, they say in business you're either selling a painkiller or a vitamin, and obviously the painkiller is more of a compelling product than the vitamin. How do you see outsourcing? You know, because now you're doing it, I'm sure you see it as a as an absolute critical part of the pie. But before you were outsourcing, was it more of a vitamin? Was it, you know, more of a give or take, this kind of business solution?
It's funny. It's one of these things that before we started doing it, we sort of saw it as just being there. It wasn't something that we thought was important. Now, several years later, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how we lived without it. So it's interesting. It's just the perspective has changed quite substantially. You know, when we first set out, we had a particular, like I think almost everybody else does, when your first thoughts when you want to outsource is it's going to be cost reduction. That's always number one. How am I going to reduce costs? If I can go and find a place where I can employ people to do the same work at a lower cost, that would be great. And so thus the journey begins. And I think we referenced this in an earlier call with you. You know, once we got to the Philippines and started looking around and seeing what other people were doing and just what the depth of talent was and what people were actually up to, all of a sudden it changed very quickly from being cost reduction to, well, actually, what are the value can we add?
And before you made your journey over to the Philippines, you were doing a lot of DD, a lot of due diligence, a lot of investigations, a lot of interviews. In reflection, when you reflect back, what are some of the key considerations you need to think about when you're outsourcing? And maybe in comparison to some of the things that you did think were quite critical but actually aren't.
One of the difficulties that I was having was identifying who the potential partners were that we were going to work with. The methodology I eventually used was to just find people that I knew who had operations and then get an understanding of what their experience had been like and what the experience was ongoing, and then to refine it down to those who were happy with what they had. Now, that's probably not the most scientific method. I think we potentially didn't cast the net far and wide enough in terms of potential other companies. We were very lucky in that we did find and ended up with a very good provider, but there was a strong chance that it could have gone either way. And I think at the time, going sort of back 6-7 years, there wasn't any one source of truth or any one type of a portal or guidance on in being able to do comparisons between different providers. It was very much about doing either Google searches and just coming up and trying to figure out what you came in, or relying on word of mouth. You know, I think certainly the business that you're creating here is helping to solve that problem a lot, in terms of being able to give a lot more information up front, so that people can make better informed decisions. I think the bit that I would have done differently is I probably would have gone on a plane a lot sooner. I wouldn't have spent quite as much time trying to do the analysis from offshore. I think I would have found a host of companies that met my basic minimum criteria, and then I would have gone there, because my biggest learnings came from actually just spending time with the owners, spending time with the managers, and actually spending time in their offices and seeing how they did and what they did. And that I got a lot more out of that.
Mm. Yeah, it's incredible, that value of actually seeing things firsthand and really seeing the people working, seeing that the people working are actually people as well. It really adds, you know, really a three-dimensional view to it for the first time, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you're a successful businessman. I know that you have a big network of successful businessmen, you know, even across Australia and New Zealand now. And outsourcing is a major part of your business, almost like accounting or bookkeeping is a major part of your business. Yet the uptake of outsourcing isn't, universal amongst all of your business network, amongst businesses in Australia or New Zealand generally. Where do you see the friction points, and how do you see the level of awareness still about outsourcing?
I actually think the awareness is pretty low for the most part. I think people are sort of becoming more aware of it, but it's still, when I have conversations around it, I still think the first thought is just that it's cost reduction, if anything. And it's not yet embedded in the majority of the people that I talk to as being a necessity, or even as being, you know, it's an option, but not one that they necessarily are prepared to venture down anytime in the near future. And I think that will change. I mean, the conversations in the last 5-6 years have changed dramatically, and the awareness factor is going up all the time. I think there needs to be some impetus. There's got to be some kind of a reason why people start to look at it. And it might be that they go, well, you know, we're just not able to scale a particular part of our business because every time that we grow, we have to add a whole bunch more expense, and the expense of it is too high, and therefore we're not making any money. Or it can be a situation where they're forced to drop costs and they have to find a way. Or in what was our situation, we just couldn't find the employees that we needed quickly enough and be able to keep them long enough to be able to do what we were trying to do. And so they, I think that as that happens, then you start to look at sort of alternatives. What, how else can I do this? And in our case, that brought us to the Philippines, which then solved the problem that we were after. We've been able to hire a great, you know, caliber of people who are very motivated and very well educated and very keen and eager to do the work that we've given them. And, you know, within that, over the period of time, we've been able to identify some stars and grow them and, you know, form our leadership base from within those initial staff who came on board with us. So really kind of happy and comfortable that the decision we've made was the correct one.
And outsourcing is very much a journey, isn't it? You know, it's a little bit like learning karate, I suppose, in that, you know, you're never going to be that good on day one, and you can't really skip ahead a lot without putting in the time and gaining the experience. A little bit the same as business generally, I suppose. But, you know, again, in reflection, do you see any ways that you could really speed up your outsourcing journey, the efficiency of it, avoid a few of the pitfalls, and really kind of speed up that that learning curve?
Absolutely. So things that we did, which I think really helped a lot, were putting staff from the home office into the Philippine office on day one and kept them there for as long as we needed them there. That meant that it was a two-way thing. Miscommunications between us and staff on the ground, or if anything came up that we weren't sure about, there was always somebody we could go to get an explanation or an answer from. And that cleared things up very quickly for us, because I think too much gets lost in translation, not because we're not speaking the same language, but because people are in one office, you're in another. There's a bit of a cultural divide. They're not necessarily wanting to give you the answer. They're not necessarily comfortable enough to be able to give you a very frank response. Whereas having someone there, we knew exactly what was going on, and we were able to adapt quickly. The second thing that I think we would have benefited from, but we didn't do, but once we did help, was around the structuring and the process mapping, and just getting sure that we were very clear on what people had to do. The irony of that one is, I think we talked about in our last discussion, was that had we done that earlier, we probably would have got better benefits in Australia from the same thing. We just hadn't done the work. But once we'd done that, we were in a much better position. I think one of the key learnings and the benefits that we got was about embracing the staff from day one as being our own. So rather than this idea of just being able to throw it over the fence and hope that somebody on the other side will deal with it, we took the view that they were our staff doing our thing, you know, working with us to try and help us, help our customers and run our business. And that changed the mindset of our staff, local staff, in terms of dealing with them, and also just changed the approach that we took towards dealing with them. And I think that was absolutely paramount that in terms of importance. When I've talked to some people who've said, I've had a really bad experience outsourcing, and there's no way I'm ever going to do it again, and whatever. If you dig deep enough, what I find more often than not is that they just assume that there was some computer in another world that, you know, was supposed to do stuff just because it could, rather than understanding that there were people there, and if you treated them like people and worked with them, that you get a much better outcome. Whereas I find those companies that take a much more inclusive approach have generally tended to produce much better outcomes.
Yeah, I think it's the simple things, really, isn't it? Really demystifying outsourcing, and I try and do that just by saying that outsourcing is really just employment, and they're sitting in a different location. And, you know, there's endless management books on how to build teams, manage teams, inspire teams, you know, build culture in teams, get them working along the same mission, and yet it seems to be forgotten in the context of outsourcing. And, you know, it seems that people are building a relationship with a computer monitor and not a team of humans. So it's certainly something that I think, we can maybe do better in terms of helping people build their teams. And what do you think? Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I think on day one, I think a lot of people start with this to just get one person, two people. And the problem there is that they don't necessarily bring them in straight away. So they treat them as an outsourced resource and just treat them as like somebody who's somewhere else. And I think what it requires, and what we certainly said from day one was, if we are going to do this, we need to do this well. Like, we've got to do this, we've got to get to scale, we've got to keep growing it, we've got to make this work. And so, yeah, whilst we initially had a small team, we had a view towards the idea that we wanted to build out a much bigger team. And keeping a view on that meant that we persevered through some of the initial difficulties in order to be able to build out the culture and the team that we wanted, and then get the results that we were looking for.
Hmm. I find it's the difference between small businesses and big businesses. There's a small business mentality in that you need to be sitting next to someone, otherwise they're not valid teammates or valid colleagues. And, you know, I had a conversation with an employee of a major bank in the UK, and she had an IT project that she was building, and she was working with completely bank employees, so all of her colleagues, but she was based in London. Some of the team were based in Scotland, the other part of the team were in Cornwall, and then she had another part of the team in India. Now, these are all bank employees, but, you know, because banks are so big, inevitably people are sitting all around the place. And I think, you know, it can be quite natural if you're a big company that you just simply have to build relationships and project deliverables, you know, with teams that are spread across geographies. So maybe it is just, you know, small businesses going through that mentality of, you know, so they're not in the same room. We need to get over that and build processes to enable ourselves to work well together.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think it's just to your point. I don't know if it's entirely a small big mindset shift. It requires a change in approach, especially if you've always done things in a certain way, to just say there might be an alternative way to do things. And I think, interestingly, it comes down to a realignment around, I have an expectation that this person will be at this desk next to me for a certain amount of time, to my expectation is that this person is going to deliver the following results for me. And I'm not as fussed with how they get to those results. Those are just the results I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And if we become much more results focused, then the locality of the person, the ethnicity of the person, all of that goes away, and it just becomes, you know, this is what this team or this individual, the outputs that I'm looking for. And as long as I'm getting that, that's the most important thing for me. Because whatever that is generally what's going to be good for the company, what's good for your customers, and what's good for the entire enterprise. And I think that gradually we're getting more used to the idea of, you know, flexible work hours, the ability for people to do days out of the office. I still feel that face-to-face connection is really important, but it doesn't need to be all the time. But I still think that once we get our minds aligned to that, the results orientation, that it doesn't put as much onus on where the individual actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. And the future then, Jethro, the future. Where do you see all this going? I mean, it's incredible. You know, whether I'm naive or too blinkered, but I still find it incredible that people don't naturally consider outsourcing for their staffing solutions. But inevitably, I think that the world will continue to converge, and it will be increasingly globalized, and there will be a singular global workforce. And we're certainly seeing, you know, huge growth in outsourcing, and that also reflects in the Philippines economy going through incredible growth spurts. But where do you see the evolution of outsourcing and you know, just generally businesses staffing and fueling their businesses?
So I think, kind of building on a point that we were discussing earlier, I think what happens is that there is a catalyst event in many companies' time when all of a sudden they have to start considering an alternative way of doing things. And I was reflect back on a friend of mine who ran a software development company who had all of his staff, I think, in Australia at the time. And what he found was his competitors who were had staff in the Philippines or in one or two other countries, were consistently able to deliver the same outputs as he was, but at a much lower cost. And he started to lose work because he just couldn't get it. When he was going in and saying, well, I've got, you know, my workforce here, but the results were no different to what he was getting, what the other guys were getting, it made no sense from a consumer's point of view or customer's point of view to want to use his services. And he immediately went and started outsourcing. My understanding is that his business grew massively as a consequence. and he was able to have a successful exit recently. So I think, you know, I'm not attributing directly the outsourcing to his success, but it certainly was a block that he was able to get out of the way, and then that enabled him to then start growing again. So I think that many other businesses will have similar experiences where all of a sudden your competitors or the needs or the requirements will change that you can't deliver them from just within the confines of where you are, and you'll need to find alternative ways of doing things. And, you know, I certainly felt that we came to that point, and I've been very happy with the results. Where does this go to? I mean, I don't know. I guess as people around the world become more accessible and more amenable to this form of work, maybe, you know, we open up facilities in other countries. I don't know. I would love to be able to start to eventually have centers of excellence in all around the world wherever we happen to find the right people to do a specific job. You know, that's certainly large multinationals have done that for many years. And you look at a lot of the tech businesses, they've got R&D facilities across 10 different points of the world. Why do they have them in 10 facilities around the world? There's no cost reason for that. It's because that's where the best people for that job are. Mm. And so, you know, as this continues to evolve, if we can emulate that to some degree and be able to hire people, no matter where they are in the world, who are just the best person for that particular job, then that'd be a great outcome.
Yeah, it's like a smorgasbord of human resource, really, isn't it? You pull it from where it's most abundant, and it just makes so much sense when there's little or no friction to connecting everyone together through SaaS or project management softwares and things like that. And then the future, you know, is often pulled into question in terms of AI, automation, machine learning. Are there going to be any jobs at all in 20 years' time? Specific to your business, your industry, are you seeing a lot of automation? Of course, you know, things are drastically changing maybe every month, but I assume, you know, there's even more jobs to do because you're already sort of always coping with the change. Do you see a lot of machine learning, automation, and things in your sector? And do you think that directly threatens jobs within your business?
I think the AI or the implementation of whatever kind of, it needn't be AI, it could be something off the back of ML, but it's something, any kind of automation that is successfully implemented is generally, for me, is done in areas where people probably shouldn't have been doing that work in the first place. It's primarily highly repetitive, very straightforward tasks where a person is not necessarily the best thing to do that. Now, I guess the argument is that AI will develop to such a degree that they'll be able to take on a lot more versatile functions. I think that's still a way off. I mean, if I think through, you know, one of the bigger functions like customer service, you know, I personally detest having to deal with a chatbot or anything like that, simply because to me it's like a different way of positioning an FAQ or some kind of a written page. There's no nuance to it, and if my problem is not specifically answerable because there's an FAQ, which generally it never is, then I'm frustrated by the experience. Whereas if I get a human on the phone, my expectation is that they would at the very least be able to say to me, you know what, I can't answer this question, but I will find someone who can. Mm. I haven't got any of the same trust when it comes to dealing with bots. So I'm not such a pessimist when it comes to the rollout of AI. I think there will be some benefit and there will be some job losses, but typically those jobs are probably not the ones that I think people should have been doing anyway, and the other jobs will be created. The fact of the matter is that once we take resource away from one part of our business because we've been able to automate that away, we are able to devote our attention to building another part of the business, which inevitably will result in new jobs. The example I can give is it's not directly linked to outsourcing, but it's analogous. And it was when we first started up our business and we introduced barcode scanning into our warehousing, and we didn't have that on day one because we didn't know what we were doing. And I remember a particular function within the facility went from 3.5 jobs down to half a person. It went from 3.5 full-time Wow. jobs to half a person's job, and we were able to increase the volume fourfold with that half a job being done. Those other three people ended up in other jobs which paid more and were more we're more higher levels.
Thank you so much for your time and your insights and the, you know, the wealth of experience you have with outsourcing. And of course, anyone can, I encourage everyone to go and visit nile.com.au and check out your store. And thank you so much for your time, Jethro.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
That was Jethro Marks of Nile.com.au. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/256. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.